and God has just blessed us with these people. And you know, it just told me, like, for the last 2 years we went through a bit of turmoil here, but God never forgot us. He never forgot us, and you know, and now he's sending the people to us, which is such a blessing to us, you know. And you know, we have in this house this morning, we have three ladies that I'm going to invite to come. And these ladies are three prophets. And I don't say that lightly. But God has sent us three prophets to this house. And you know, we have the privilege of having these ladies for the month of June. And I'd like you to stand and honor these ladies. And I'm going to invite the ladies to come. Amen. Amen. But first of all, I'm going to ask you to introduce yourselves and just tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Well, good morning. It's such an honor to be here. We have fallen in love with Ireland. My name is Lynn Dagens, and I am the founder and president of Ministries on Call. And it's a vision that God gave me many years ago. And one of the things that we do is he sends us to the nations, and he sends us to partner with what you're already doing in your nation. And we work with him to open up spiritual airways and to disciple and to train. And one of the things, we were here last year for a week, last May, and one of the things that God showed us, and after speaking with some of you, you already know this, but Ireland is poised and ready for a revival. God has heard your prayers, and your labor is not going to go unnoticed, and you will see the fruit of revival. Prior to my coming, I had three dreams, and in each one of these dreams, the Lord showed me that wherever I walked and our team walked, we began to stir up coals of revival. So we're here to partner with you, and we're going to see his kingdom come here in Ireland.
Thanks, Lynn. And Christy, tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Christy Prentice, and we're from Texas, and Kim is from New Mexico. But with the Lord uses me in his inner healing and deliverance and wise counsel. I'm also an intercessor, and so if there's intercessors in the house, I want to honor you for what you're doing, because you are the backbone that is making this church move forward. And so in that, the Lord has sent me to the nations to equip the saints, but also bring healing to leadership and to the saints that we come in contact with. And so I'm looking forward to that.
And Kim, if you just tell us a little bit and tell us about the painting.
My name is Kim Maycumber. I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico. I have four boys, and I am just so excited to be here. I am a prophetic intercessor warfare painter. And so what I do is I paint what the Spirit is sharing from deep inside of me. I'm going to be having three different classes that I would love anybody who would like to learn how to paint with the Spirit to become a part of. You don't need artistic ability. You just need a desire to hear from the Holy Spirit and to put out on the canvas what he is asking you to share. Because every painting is the word of heaven on canvas to go out and continue to go out and change the world for the way the Lord has desired. So I would love for any of you to be a part of that if you would like to. Oh, this painting, as I was painting, I don't come normally with pictures in my mind. It is what develops through the Holy Spirit. And as I was painting this one, I was feeling the love of the Father. And as it's coming, I started sensing waves, tumultuous waves, but they are not horrendous waves. They are waves of the Holy Spirit that feel like our life is out of control, because it is in the Holy Spirit, exactly where he wants it to be. And with it, down here, the green is representing new life, and the tumultuousness of our lives things that you guys have been going through, the Lord is bringing new life, and he is in control of it all. And if the light is in the Holy Spirit, it permeates everything that is happening. Nothing has happened without his knowledge and his okay, and there is new life in it.
Amen. So if you belong to this house, let me see all the hands of you belong to this house. Amen. Brilliant. Well, you know, through the month of June, these ladies are going to be doing workshops. And you know what? You got to sign up, you know. So there's going to be workshops taking place on Saturday and Friday. I think we have a slide. So you need to come and see myself or Sharon, because we will be taking names. There will be only 10 slots per session. When Kim is doing the painting, but please come and sign up. Avail of this, guys. You know, God has sent these people to us, so let's use what God wants to do through these women. Amen. 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 We also have our marriage retreat that's taking place tomorrow evening. That's at 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock. So if you want to invest in your marriage, did I say that right? You got to come to the house tomorrow night. So please see either myself at the end of the service. I just need to know numbers. So please come along. We're going to have a good night. And there's going to be some really good teaching. I spoke to Bernard and Jolene at the end, and they told me that they have watched this guy and he's excellent. So please come along and let's invest in our marriages. Who wants to have a great marriage? That's what I like to hear. Liberty people having great marriages. Amen? Amen. And I think that's all. And that's it. And now I would like to invite Lynn. Lynn is going to come this morning. And Lynn is going to bring God's word to us. So come on along then. Amen.
Isn't it a joy to serve the Lord? You know, as we've been traveling around to different nations over the past several years, I was in Africa, and the Lord woke me up at 3:30 in the morning. Have you ever noticed that sometimes he just doesn't care if you get a full night's sleep or not? You know, and he does that intentionally to test you, to see how willing are you really to hear his voice. And if you're like, well, God, this really isn't on my schedule, he's like, well, it's on mine. So he woke me up at 3:30 in the morning while I'm in Africa, and he began to speak to me for the next couple of hours and began to show me vision after vision of a conference that he's desiring for us to do there. And the last thing he told me was, he said, and I will be checking in, and I'll be watching, and I will be listening. And Lynn, if I don't hear laughter coming from those meetings, you're not doing it right. That's our King, because our service to him is with joy and with celebration. Doesn't his word say the joy of the Lord is our strength? And I think Christians should be the happiest people that there are. We may have some of the hardest struggles and tribulations, but we have the champion who walks alongside of us. And as he works in us and through us and with us, he develops us into champions. And that's the title of my message this morning. It's called Dread Champions. I want to start off by speaking about a verse in Malachi, Malachi chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. And it says this, "But as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for God, the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." If you ever get to the place where you wonder if God hears you, go back to his word. My God will hear me. But verse 8 is the verse that I love. "Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. Though I fall, I will rise." And I like to add a second commentary to it, and look out, because when I get up, guess who I'm coming after? That is the heart and the passion of a dread champion. How does God make champions? He takes everyday people like us, and the fires, the trials, the circumstances, and the situations we come out of, he reaches down. Sometimes he jumps right in the middle of it, and he takes us out, and he leads us out. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, there's a promise that the Lord gave Moses, and it says when the Lord your God brings you into the land where you are entering in to possess it. Do you notice that? When he brings you into the land to do what? To possess it, to take it over, it's yours, and clears away the many nations before you, and there's a whole list of all the ites in there. He says, there will be 7 nations greater than you, stronger than you. And if you stop and pause there a moment, because sometimes we kind of just read over those things, but you pause for a moment and you have to go, wait a minute, God, back up. You're sending me into an area in a land that you want me to take ownership of, and there's 7 nations or giants or circumstances or situations greater than me? Wait a minute. But he goes on to say that when you enter into that land, I will drive them out before you. Okay, so there's a promise in there, but there's also a clause where we have things to do. And that's what I want to talk about, because that is part of his way of making us into champions. The Hebrew word, one of the Hebrew words for God, is El Gibor. It's one of my favorites. And it means mighty warrior, mighty champion. And he is our mighty warrior. As a matter of fact, I see him standing here, right here next to me this morning. And he is dressed in his battle array. And he looks like a dread champion. That's how I see him this morning. And what he looks like is that fierceness turned on us? No. It's turned on those who turn against us, those that would try to take away or stop us from going in the path and the direction that he's called us to, and namely, Satan and his dominions, the kingdom of darkness. So God's sending us into a territory that he's promised to us, but we have to know how to conquer these things. So he said, I'll drive them out before you. But remember with the Israelites, they had to learn how to do the warfare. They had to learn how to go in and conquer. Now, they had a little bit of trouble, because whenever they decided, well, I think we know better, they were into rebellion. And then God did not defeat the enemy before them. They were defeated. So when we go into these lands or into these new territories, and doesn't that sound like what you've been doing here? You've been taking new territories back. You've been taking over areas that the enemy has said, this is mine. And you're like, uh-uh, we're taking this territory for the kingdom. So we can apply it to what is happening in your region, your city, your nation. But we also can apply it to what's happening in our own lives. So there are things that are greater than us, that it's hard work, but it's supposed to be. Because if it was easy, what would we gain? We already know how to do that. We can just walk and do that. But when it's difficult, we have to lean upon the Lord, our conqueror. And sometimes that's where we get into a little bit of trouble, because we start thinking, I can do this myself, in my own strength, in my own wisdom, in my own way. But we cannot. We have to lean upon him, and he teaches us how to walk. Psalm 18, verse 34 says, he trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. And then Psalm 144 says, blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. All of that is training that happens. Now, when he gave the instruction to the Israelites, he said, number one, drive them out.
drive out the inhabitants of the land. Don't make a treaty with them. Don't make a peace offering with them. Don't sublet to them. Drive them out. And that means literally to cut off. David cut off the head of Goliath. He didn't just knock him out and say, okay, let's keep him in chains. He cut off the head of Goliath. Okay, so it means to literally cut those things off that are hindering you. That's something, that's warfare that we do in the spirit. The next thing he says, tear down the engraved stones. Well, what are engraved stones? They're mindsets. They're painful memories. They're bad histories. We have to tear those things down. Because you see, the enemy we face out there is already defeated. It's the things that we carry in here that can continually keep tripping us up and keep convincing us that we can't do it. And that we're just the opposite of what God is saying we are and what we can do. The next thing he said is get rid of the molten images and the idols. Well, what is that? Because we very rarely see different parts of the world. Yes, you will see actual idols set up, but in most civilized countries, you don't see that. So what is that today? That's anything that you run to in a time of trouble except God. Do you run to ice cream? Do you run to your best friend? Do you run to chocolate? Do you run to drugs? Do you run to alcohol? It's anything. What do you run to for your comfort? You've created an idol. And it's a very subtle, slippery thing because we think, oh, everybody does it. It's acceptable in our society. But God hasn't changed. I am God and I change not. So anything that you run to in a time of trouble that is not the Lord himself is an idol, and it needs to be torn down. The next thing the Lord said, or God says to the Israelites, is when you enter the land, tear down the high places. So what is a high place? That's when something painful or difficult or you've had a hard day happens to you, mentally or physically, you turn to that place right away. And you say something like this in your mind. Oh, it's just like that time over there. Or it's just like when this happened to me. That's a high place. That's something that rises up right away and wants your attention drawn to it. And the Lord is saying these things have to be torn down. So the last one is, the Lord says, drive out the inhabitants. And what are the inhabitants? Those are things that are already there that you have already made a determination about. It's a prejudice. Okay, I'm not talking about a people group prejudice. It could be. But it's anything that you have prejudged. That's what a prejudice is. So as we look at these different things, so we can look at it, first of all, in our outside world, conquering and taking back a city or a nation or a region or even your church block area. And you can take these five different points and begin to apply them, and you, of course, will be stirring up a little bit of trouble. But remember, if you're a champion, it's part of your training. But then also to look at how we apply that to our lives, because we have to have those things working in us before they can become effective working out of us. So God promised the Israelites, he said, I will lead you to the land of abundance, the land flowing with milk and honey. And that's what the Lord gave his life for, to lead us into the place of the abundance. Even though there are seven nations or giants in your life that are greater than you, he's still saying there's an abundance there for you. He said that he would drive out. So what does that mean? If we have to apply ourselves and focus on these things and work on these things, what does that mean when he says he'll do it? It is his power, his force working through us that helps us to be able to accomplish these things. In and of ourselves, we cannot. And this is a process. I've talked to many people. I've been one of them. God, you're God. You can do anything. Can't you just fix this? Can't you just erase all of those bad things
And with a simple prayer, I stand in faith and believe, can't you just take those things away and automatically slay those giants? And he said to me, yes, I can. And I'm thinking, happy days. This is great. And I said, wonderful. Let's do it. He said, I won't. And I said, why not? He said, because I'm not a thief. And I do not want to rob you or myself of the process. This is a process, a journey with him as we walk through it. And if he would automatically reach down, like I was thinking, that would be so lovely if he did that and just take all those things away because I'm his anyhow, and then I could just continue on. Because I thought that walking through and cleaning out my territory in my life and slaying the giants in my life was something I just had to do before I finally started living. Then my life would begin. And sometimes we get in that mindset. But what he's saying, no, that is your life. That is your journey, because every giant that you slay, every nation you conquer, is you're learning and you're growing and you gain authority over it to then go to somebody else and say, I know how to do this. Let me give you some keys. I can't do it for you, but I can give you some keys that will unlock some of those things that are keeping you chained up. And that's how we continue walk and open up that ever circle of the Lord's direction. So what are the giants in your land? What are the giants in your city? What are the giants in your region? What are your giants that are right here in your church? How are you going to slay them? You need a battle plan. You have to go to El Gibor, the mighty warrior, for that battle plan. But then what about your personal life? Because that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where you get right down into it. How do you do that? What are your giants there? I'll tell you what some of mine were. First, let me give you a little bit of background history about myself. I wasn't always as you see I am now. I've lived on this earth almost 64 years. In 2 months, I'll be 64 years old. But I had a life that I think some of you could identify with. I was not wanted by my family. At the age of 5, I was sold as a child prostitute. By the age of 9, I almost died. Actually, I did die, but the Lord resurrected me, and it was from abuse. At the age of 16, I tried to take my own life because I'd had it, and God stepped into my room and said, "Do you want to die?" And I knew in that moment that if I said yes, I would have died. But I also knew I would go to hell if I did. You see, my parents were drug addicts. They were alcoholics. They were involved deeply in the occult. And I was a mess. By the time I was 16, I had no desire to live anymore. And when God said, "Lynn, do you want to die?" I really had to think about it, because I also knew I would go to hell, and I felt I was living in hell, and I'm sure some of you can identify with that. And I said, "God, I don't want to die because I don't want to go to hell, but I can't keep living in this hell I am in now." You see, I had taken an overdose of pills. I should have died, because when God stepped into the room, I was going into cardiac arrest at the age of 16, and God came into the room. And when I said, "I don't want to die," my heart rate went back to normal, and I fell asleep. I woke up the next morning perfectly healthy, perfectly normal. I should have been dead for the second time. Then at the age of 17, I watched my mother being murdered right in front of me. You see, my life was horrible. But I know I'm not the only person that these things have happened to. Because you see, the thief comes only to rob, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. By the time I was 24 years old, I didn't think there was anything left for me at all. because even though the Lord had kept me alive and brought me back to life when I was 9 years old and was dying and died on a satanic altar as a sacrifice, he brought me back to life. And they thought it was Satan. What they didn't know is the life itself was standing there, because he is the great I am, and there is nothing impossible with him. I am standing here before you, saved, whole, delivered, and sane, and in my right mind, and so in love with God, and so passionate for him, for his people, and for his kingdom, that I know there is nothing impossible with him. I know I had to walk through years of struggle, my process, my journey of walking through healing step by step by step by step. But I'm here, and look what he has done. Some people my age think it's time to start retiring. I'm looking at it going, oh, God, give me enough years to do what you want me to go to do and to go where you want me to go, because nothing is impossible with you, and you can do what you want with this individual. So what were my giants? Fear. Fear was a huge one, because mentally I was so broken that I was in, somebody was constantly controlling me. If I stepped out of the line, I was beaten. If I stepped out of line, I was tortured or tormented. It just went on and on and on. Trust, oh my gosh, there was no trust. It was an antitrust, rejection, abandonment, self-pity, victimization, feeling unloved and believing that I was unlovable, worry and anxiety. Those were my giants. They had to be slain. So how did I do it? I fell in love with Jesus. Because you see, one day at the age of 23, a man that I worked with said to me, you know, you should come and visit my church. And I was so hard and so bitter, I didn't laugh. There was nothing to laugh about. And I have to say, that's not true anymore. But by the end of the week, he had convinced me to go. Because you see, the week prior to that, I turned the television on one night. Billy Graham was on. And I went to turn the TV off because I thought, I don't need to listen to this. And some unseen hand pushed my hand away from the television and said, if you will watch this, you'll find the answers you're looking for. And I listened to the entire program. And at the end, Billy Graham always gives his salvation call. I never heard that, because God stepped into the room again. And he began speaking to me. And I said, God, there is not any churches like this. I was very cynical and very hard. I was raised on the wrong side of the track. I knew a lot about Satan and his kingdom. And then there was no life. There was no joy. Oh, there was power, lots of power, but it cost you everything to get it. And you don't have a choice when this is what you're raised in. And some of you know what I'm talking about. There were things you were raised in. How do you break out? The people who are supposed to protect you and love you and care for you, for me, are selling me as a prostitute. And other horrendous things I can't even go and would never go into. And so I was so hard and bitter. But this voice said, if you'll watch this, you'll find the answers you're looking for. And so I watched it. And Billy Graham was talking about the true church of God, a church very much like this, where God meets you and you learn about him. And he strengthens you, and he encourages you, and he helps you. And as I'm watching this, I'm weeping, because my heart is crying out for that. There was only two things that I wanted in life before I died, because I didn't think I was going to live very long, At the age of 24, I had already died twice. And my thought was, even God doesn't want me. I'm so horrible. I'm so evil. I'm so miserable. Even God doesn't want me. I can't die. I'm trapped in this living hell. And I said to God that night, if you will lead me to a church like that, I'll go there and I'll serve you. And then the next Monday, this gentleman I worked with starts talking to me, and he says, why don't you come and visit my church? And I laughed at him. It wasn't a pleasant laugh. It was a hard, cynical laugh. And I said, what do I want to do that for? They're all a bunch of hypocrites. Isn't that funny? Everybody thinks we're all hypocrites. They should just come in and join us, don't you think? And so by the end of the week, I said, I will try. And so I drove to where the church was on Sunday morning. I was a little early because that tends to be my nature. I don't like to be late. And when I opened the door, the Sunday school class in the sanctuary was just finishing. And when I opened the door, Jesus was standing right in the doorway, as real as every one of you are right now. And he had his hands out like this. And he said, welcome, Lynn. I've been waiting a long time for you, and I'm so glad you're here. I didn't know what to say. I knew who it was. You see, I don't care who you are or what you say you believe or don't. When you come face to face with God, you know who it is. And it isn't a matter of, oh, I don't believe in you. Uh-uh, that doesn't happen. You know. And I'm looking around at all the people thinking, if Jesus is here, do they know that? Do they know that Jesus is here? And nobody paid any attention. You see, I didn't know that sometimes he appears just to you and not everybody can see him. Because he was just as real to me as every one of you are. And that wasn't the first time, and does not, it continues periodically where he appears and I see him just as real as you, like I see him standing here next to me this morning as El Gibor, the mighty warrior. And he's here for a reason, to let you know that whatever it is that you are struggling with, whether it's personally, on your job, in your home, in your marriage, in your church, in your community, in your neighborhood, he is El Gibor. He is your mighty warrior, and he will stand with you and go with you into battle. So that morning, I went into the sanctuary, because when I looked back after looking around, he was gone. Okay, now normally people would maybe be freaked out about that, but I lived in a supernatural world. It was the dark kingdom, but I lived in a supernatural world, so that did not freak me out. What freaked me out was that it was God, because I had been taught my entire life how much God hated me, because I was so evil and so horrible, because they had methodically gone on everything and had me break every single one of the commandments. You know, Satan is really thinks he's really good at stuff, but our God is greater and more powerful. And so all I heard growing up was how much God hated me. I never heard about Jesus. I never heard about grace. I never heard about how much God is my father, because I didn't know what a father was. I had tormentors. I didn't have parents. So I went into the sanctuary and the service began. And I didn't know what to do. You know, you're new. I'm sitting in the back. I'm thankful for that, because the front made me really nervous. And everybody stood to sing, so I stood. And when I opened my mouth to try to sing, the chairs were gone, and Jesus was standing right in front of me again. And this time he said, Lynn, why did you do these things to me? It wasn't a harsh, hard, critical question. There was so much love in it. And it was a question that was asked that you could tell the person who asked really wanted an answer and was interested in what I had to say. And I said, what things? what things? And instantly I saw flash before my eyes my life. And it was not a pleasant picture. But one thing I kept seeing was this broken, lost, wounded girl and woman that was looking for love. Because that's all I wanted, was to be loved. And I said, I didn't know that I did these to you. Well, we know the word says, whatsoever you've done unto the least of these, my brothers, you've done it unto me. And I didn't know, and I said, I'm sorry. I didn't know, because you see, my entire life, I was looking for unconditional love. I was just looking for somebody to love me without a price tag attached to it. Oh, sure, I gained a lot of power. I moved in some satanic circles and did a lot of wow things that impressed people. And people were like, oh, she's powerful. No, I'm powerful now. What was happening to me then is every time I gained more demonic power, I lost more of myself. But you see, I didn't have a choice. I was placed in this, and I was pounded and pushed and prodded and tormented into it. And I know some of you, your life circumstances have been like that. But I'm telling you, there's a God who knows you, who knows your name, and knows exactly what you've walked in and what you're going to walk in when you leave here. And he's right there with you as El Gibor. Just like he reached down. He didn't reach down. He jumped right in the middle of it. And he took this woman who they said to me over and over, you'll never get out of this. Because I kept running away. And they said, the only way you're going to get out is if you wind up in an insane asylum, where the demons will drag you, or you die. And I figured that I didn't have very long to live. I was 24, actually was 24 years old, and I knew I didn't have very long to live because there was a contract out on my life that by the time I was 30, I was to be assassinated because I was continually resisting and fighting. Why? Because God had picked me. Like he picked you, and like he picked people that are around you and said, I choose you. I choose you to be mine, and I'm coming after you. And I'm pulling you out of that mess because I gave my life for that. So when back to the church service, when I said, I'm sorry, Lord, I didn't know, and I am weeping. Because I realize the very thing I've been looking for and longing for my entire life is standing right in front of me and saying to me, why did you do these things to me? And I'm remembering all the things that was taught to me about how I would never get out and how much God hated me. And I thought, there's no hope for me. But I didn't know that hope is who he is. And when I said, I'm so sorry, I wouldn't look him in the eyes. I couldn't. I kept my head down. Because you see, in the occult, when you look somebody in the eye and they have more authority or power than you, you're challenging them. And it will be a challenge to the death. And I knew he had more power and authority than I did. And I kept my head down. And I'm weeping, saying, I'm sorry, I didn't know. And I'm thinking, this was my chance. And now because of what I had been taught, it's over. It's over. And he said my name. He said, Lynn. And it was like the most loving caress on my heart I have ever felt. And I just stopped. I just stood there with my head down. Because you see, he knows what we know. Because he knows where we've been. He knows what we've heard, what we believe. He knows all these things. He knows the very things that are still keeping you in places where you're being challenged and you can't break free. He knows. And he knew what I believed. And he knew why I wouldn't look at him. And he said my name again, Lynn. And everything in me, I wanted to look up, but I knew I couldn't. And he said, look at me. Look at me. And I looked up and I looked into his eyes. And I couldn't believe what I saw. There was no hatred there. There was no judgment and no criticism and no condemnation. And he is the one. You know, the woman at the well in the Bible? I was her. Or not the woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery. And all the accusers were around her. And they all left. And the Lord said, woman, where's your accuser? She said, there's only you. And that was me. All the accusers were gone, except for him. And he is the only one who could have accused me. And I saw only love and acceptance. And in that moment, I felt like I belonged to something. I felt for the first time in my life, here's somebody who loves me. Not because of what they can get me to do or what I can do for them. They love me. And I surrendered to him that morning. This happened throughout the entire service. And then he was gone. But I felt like these huge boulders were just lifted off my back. And the service was coming to a conclusion. And I walked out. I didn't know what happened to me because there was nobody to explain it. And I felt embarrassed. I felt scared because even though I had done supernatural stuff, this was something entirely different. And as I'm walking out, the pastor was very tall, 6 foot something, much taller than me, meets me at the door, and he's shaking my hand and he's walking me out and inviting me back to church, and I'm just in this daze. I don't know what to say. And I walked out of the church, and I couldn't believe what I saw because somebody had taken that dark veil off of my face that I didn't even know was there because the grass was so green. Everything looked new and vibrant and alive, and I didn't realize it was because life had come into me. And I like to tell people at this point, I was born dead until that moment. And then I came alive. And all the way home, I'm laughing. Just laughing. And when I first heard myself laughing, I thought, whose voice is that? And it wasn't a hard, cynical, heavy laugh. It was life and freedom and joy. And then I would start crying. And then I would laugh again. And I thought, I am really falling apart here now. And I got out of the car and I had to walk into my house and I was staggering like a drunk woman. I couldn't hardly stand up because I'd take a few steps and I would double over laughing again. You see, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And my journey continued after that. The next week I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I began praying in my heavenly language. I would wake up in the middle of the night singing in tongues to as loud as I could and just rejoicing in God. And I picked up his word and I devoured it. I took it every place with me because of one thing. I wanted to learn about this God who would love me, who would go to the depth, because I felt like people wouldn't really even want me around if they knew who I really had been. At that point, I still felt like who I was because I hadn't learned about where the Lord says, behold, I make all things new. And I was one of those new things. But I had to walk and to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. But the one thing that continued to move me and to drive me on was my love for Jesus. Because he first loved me. And as he walked me through this process that took years of learning and growing and believing what his word says, and then he walked me through the place of saying, his word is true. So if he says it, I'm going to stand on it and walk it. And to this day, it's what I do. And that's what I encourage you to do. Because too often, we read it, but we don't believe it. Or we can quote it, but we don't believe it. One of the verses that the Lord used, because I went through a lot of inner healing and deliverance. I know what Christy is talking about. Before man even had programs, God was teaching me how to do this. And him and I were doing this. And I would start reading his word. And all of a sudden, I would read it out loud to myself because of all the struggles, the oppression that was going on inside of me. I had a hard time just reading it and focusing, so I would speak it out loud. I didn't know I was actually decreeing the word over myself. I learned that later. Isn't that awesome? I didn't know that by reading the word out loud, I was tormenting the very ones that were tormenting me. I learned that later. And one day I said to the Lord, and this is many years later, after I've learned some of these key things, I said, you know what, Lord? I'm feeling very oppressed today because I'm being tormented and I don't like it. And it's time to turn the tables. So I'm asking, Father, that you would send your angels into the room, and every demon in hell that's trying to torment me, that you would bind him and you would hold him here. And I'm just going to read the word out loud to them and let them be tormented for a while. And that's exactly what happened. Angels came right into the room, and I saw them standing with their swords drawn at the neck of those demons. So I just opened my Bible, and I thought, well, I'm just going to take my time. Because torment is on the other foot. And so I began reading from the book of Revelation. I began reading from the Gospels, and I heard screaming. You see, we are more than conquerors. We are victorious. Jesus said, I have given you all authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. And as we walk in this journey, in this process, that he continues to restore us and renew us and get the junk out, those things can't touch us anymore. As I travel and minister and speak, people say to me, how did you get that anointing? How do you get that much authority? I tell them there's only one answer, and it is my relationship with Jesus Christ. Because he is my first, he is my last, he is my all in all. And he has trained me. He has taught me. Do I still feel fearful at times? Oh, yeah. But I'm master of the fear now. It does not master me because I've learned the secret. You see, faith and fear cannot be in the same place at the same time. If you allow fear to come in, faith just took a walk. But in order to have faith, you have to have trust. You have to have trust. How can you trust someone you don't know? How can you trust someone who you really don't let know you? David said in the Psalms, search me and know me, O God. Know my anxious thoughts and my anxious ways. When I read that, I thought, okay, that's me. A lot of anxiety, a lot of fear. Don't want to walk there, don't want to live there, don't want to be there anymore. I'm tired of being invited to the devil's party and winning all of his door prizes. No more. I want to walk in this place of stability with Christ. And I came across the scripture in Philippians. Pray about everything. Don't be worried, don't be anxious. And so I started doing that. Whenever I would start being fearful, I began to pray. And you see, the more that I read the word, the more that I would talk to the Lord about it, the more I would study it, the more that these verses just would come to my mind. And so I would just start speaking them. So when I started feeling fearful or started feeling timid or anything like that, I would begin speaking the word of God. But Father, your word says, and you are not a man that you should lie. And one of my favorite verses, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Who is the truth? Jesus. What is the truth? His word. And so as I knew that and walked in it and believed in it, I began walking in victory. When Moses sent the spies into the promised land and to spy out the land, 10 of them came back with a victim defeated mindset. We can't do this. They're bigger than us. I love this one. We are as grasshoppers in our own eyes, and so we became grasshoppers in their eyes. Jesus, didn't he say, whatsoever a man thinks in his heart, so is he? You see, and these are all the things that we have to come out of agreement with, those types of mindsets. And it is true when you, because God sends me to the nations to partner with the Holy Spirit, to open the spiritual airways in the nations. And I go to different nations he sends me to. Sometimes I meet with people like this, and it's an honor for me to do that. It's a little prelude to what heaven's going to be like, because I get to visit so many different cultures and so many different tongues. It's beautiful. But he sends me to them, and I work with him to dethrone principalities that are over that region, myself and my team. Now, that's not a little thing to do. I didn't just wake up one day and decide I was going to do that. This was a process of the training that the Lord has taken me through in walking out my own, possessing my own territory and cleaning out the inhabitants from my own land. But then you have the champions, Joshua and Caleb. We can do this. We will overcome. Let's take this land. The land is good. If the Lord is pleased, he will bring us the victory. He will give us the land or the territory, but we must not rebel against the Lord, and we are not to fear the people, because the truth is, there is a single devil in hell that's more powerful than you. Because if you are God's, they tremble. Because once you come into that place of realizing the authority and the victory that you walk in, they're toast. And so we have to work at unraveling these things in us. Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. And that is my heart's cry. Lord, I know the prince of this world comes, and he loves to look me over. And I'm like, my Jesus stands as a barrier between you and me, and anything that I have is covered with his blood. You can't touch it. It's standing on the truth of his word. So I wanted to encourage you today. I felt that's what God wanted me to do. I felt he wanted me to tell you, you are dread champions in the making and in the training. Some of you are at different stages in different places. You are the dreaded champions that he's called to take the city. You are the ones that he's speaking to bring revival to this nation. And you are the ones who have bowed your knee and said, not my will, Lord, but yours. Here I am. I'm available however you want to use me, because that's all I did. I didn't think he would say, Lynn, I want you to go to the nations. 20 years ago, he had a prophet come and tell me that. Lynn, God's called you as a prophet to the nations. And I was like, okay, I accept that. I have no idea what that means. Actually, it was 22 years ago, and 2 years ago, I began doing in my personal life, what I began doing in the region God assigned me to, and in my city, and then my state, he now said, go to the nations. and has been sending me to the nations to do the same thing. And I am just as normal as every one of you. I have come from similar backgrounds as some of you. I understand struggles and trials. But I'm telling you, El Gibor, your mighty warrior, your champion, stands with you, stands with this church. And I just feel the Spirit of God telling me to prophesy right now. So I'm going to prophesy over this region and over this nation, because this is what I'm called to do. And I'm saying in the name of Jesus that what God has said to the nation of Ireland will come to pass. It will not be delayed. It will be not be stopped, and it will not be hindered. And God is rising up in this nation men and women who fear him more than they do anything else. Men and women who are saying, I will lay down my carnal weapons, and I will pick up the weapons of heaven, and I will stand for the King and for the Lamb, and his blood covers this nation. And I decree a shift over the nation of Ireland, that the heritage, the rich heritage, Ireland is a nation that has the heritage of miracles, signs, and wonders that have been birthed in this nation. And I call those back. And I speak to those wells that have been stopped up by the enemy. And I say, come open now in the name of Jesus. And the boundary markers that have been pushed in, I take authority in the name of Jesus and I push them back to the original boundary of Ireland that God wanted. And all the gifts and all the fruits and all the blessings of this nation are now alive and birthed and coming back to this nation. And I say, Father, before you, I align myself with the people of Ireland. And I say, me and my people will stand for you. We repent before you on behalf of all of us for anything and everything that we have done that has dishonored you, that has displeased you, Father, that has set up idols or other gods before you. We ask and we repent before you and ask for forgiveness, Father. And I ask that the blood of Jesus would now cover this nation, would cover this very land. For the land has been crying out to you, Father. The land has been crying out to you for the sons and the daughters of God to be risen and to come up. And so, Father, we align ourselves with you, your plan and your purpose. You want to do here in Ireland. And I say thank you. And I say, Holy Spirit, come. Release your fires of revival. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Lynn. You know, the one thing that I didn't say get a chance to say this to Lynn, but the one thing that I mostly say to people that will come in to speak is that us always love to hear your story, because we connect with story, and we really appreciate you being so open with your life and your story to us. I really appreciate that, and I know we do, and we look forward. We have a great couple of days, a couple of weeks ahead with Lynn and with Chrissy and with Kim. And so can I go over them quickly next weekend? So Lynn is going to be teaching on the first workshop that we're going to have next weekend is going to be like, yeah, you okay? Okay. So Lynn is going to speak on dream interpretation. And that's like something that we hear every now and then, but we've never had any teaching on it and any know-how on it. So I don't know, that's going to be fun. Have you got some dreams that you need to be interpreted? Well, come on. So there should be a slide there. Will you look for that slide, Niamh? No, it's not. Yeah. So next week they begin on Friday. What time? At 6 o'clock. So we'll put up on Facebook and all of that stuff. But next week, Lynn is going to be teaching over the other couple of weeks on going to be touching on angels, going to be touching on your authority and air dominion and how to walk in that. And then Kim is going to be meeting with people for inner healing. And just, sorry, Chrissy is going to be doing that, sorry. And who? Chrissy or Christy? Christy, oh, sorry. So Gih is going to be... Most people that we, that in Dublin is called Christy, we call them Git. I don't know where we got Git from, El Christy, but we did. So Christy is going to be teaching on inner healing. So if you want to be part of that, there's only going to be 10 to Christy's class. So if you want to sign up for that, you can't just turn up on the day. So will you please give Sharon Ollaway your name before you leave today. And she will bring us and walk us through how to receive inner healing. You know them fractures that we all have? You know them fractures that open up and rob us of some weeks and some months? God wants to heal them. And we prayed, honestly, you could not believe, we set down some markers for the next couple of years, and one of them is that we would learn, when broken people come in, we learn how to get them healed up in Jesus' name. And this is a God-given. So you need to sign up for that. See Sharon and the ways. And then Kim is going to be doing art. Now, I don't know about you, right? But like, I love what Kim was talking about. And if you're going to do the art, you're going to need to be here next Saturday, next Friday. Okay. So if you need to sign up for the art, just come and see us, because I will never be able to just communicate all that was going to. It's like, you know when you get directions, turn right, then a left, then another right. I don't even know what's after the first right. But here's the beauty about the art. Now, I want to tell you, this is not some art thing, you know. It's not like what we're going to do, nice art. There's warfare for your family and your community in this stuff. This is not just some art. God can take the simple things as rubbing a piece of paint on a board, and boom, and set freedom into your old home. I'm telling you, and what we learned from Judah and I talking to Kim, this is powerful. And here's the beauty, it's for even the artistically challenged people. Are you one of them? Because I am. I am like matchstick men and matchstick cats and dogs, and that is my limit. But this is not, don't be robbed by any of them blockages or whatever that you sign up. Come and see us, and we'll be able to put all those things together for you. Listen, if God has given us people of this caliber, that means they carry a grace for our church at this season. So if you want to receive from that, you need to put yourself underneath that. Amen? And if you don't want to receive from it, you will hear everyone else tell their stories, and you will say, I wish I was there. So let's stand as we go. Thank you for being so patient. Father, we love you. We thank you for what we heard this morning. Thank you for every word that was given. Thank you for the privilege to worship you with song and music. Thank you for your word, Lord, that was to us, for us, O God. And I pray over your people, O God. I pray I send you out as the Church of Jesus into this city and into this nation. And that wherever you find yourself this week, that you will shine on your spot. That you will let the light of God just shine through you and let him attract who he wants to attract to you, so that you can declare the goodness of God to them. I send you out under and full of blessing and peace and joy for this week, power and love for the people that you meet. I pray every breakthrough that has been set in motion in God, you will receive it this week in Jesus' name. Please, if you want to come to Clondalkin, Liberty Clondalkin tonight, come up and hear some good preacher preach tonight. Amen. God bless.